into this normal vessel. And you know what? This is what I saw today in this place. This what I saw, every chair has been filled. We never had this before, guys. Some of you, you come here and say, what's going on here? We went out of chair. You know, and it's almost like the same thing with the prophet. And we don't know what God has in the next, you know, hour for us. But let us stretch your hand. Let's pray for Ian for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for, we know, Father, this is a divine appointment, Father, for bringing Ian here. And we thank you, Lord, for what he has to share with us this morning. We thank you, Father, that God, you have done everything, you know, what you need to do in him, and he can just come and pour and fill every vessel, every single person here in this place. We give you thanks, we give you praise. Amen. Ian.
Good morning. People going back into hell. As I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, am I dead? Am I actually standing here out of my body? Or am I lying back in a hospital bed, eyes shut, hallucinating with endorphins and my mind tripping out of my skull? You got two cognitive thoughts, comatized, near dead, NDE, or dead, out of your body. The doctors lump all this into what's called an NDE, near-death experience. The trouble is many of these people have actually died and have been wheeled off into morgues, like me. My body had been taken to a morgue. How many know that's not near dead? That's scientifically stupid to say. When the person ceased living, and people say, oh, well, were you heart dead or brain dead? Well, guess what? There was no artificial respiration on me because I had neurotoxin. Neurotoxin kills your entire neurological system. If you had a heart attack or a drowning, they could keep you going through artificial respiration. But when they stop that, no oxygen to the brain, your brain dead within minutes of the heart stopping. How many are brain dead without that? But you're alive. So I am here alive, yet dead. I'm standing, not looking at my physical body that's been moved into a morgue, because I don't have access to see that. I will in a minute. As I'm standing there, I'm thinking, who is this? How on earth did he know my name? I said, I wish to return if I'm out of my body. He said, Ian, if you return, you must see things in a new light. I thought, see in the new light, light. Are you the true light? He said, Ian, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. I had never read a Bible. God is quoting to me straight out of the New Testament, 1st Epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What I'd heard Buddhist teaching, Hindu teaching, yin and yang, light, darkness, equal and opposite. In the midst of the darkness, you had a dot of light. Possible. In the midst of the light, a dot of darkness. Impossible. The light will always take the darkness out. Darkness and light are not equal and opposite. Light is always more powerful than dark. I'm having in one statement the fact that all religions don't teach the same thing by one person telling me the truth. I've just come from darkness, and the men in that place called it hell, which I didn't believe in. I thought hell was a religious trip dumped on people to scare them into their religions. I thought all religion was based in fear. I'm now standing here out of hell, in the light, looking back into the pits of hell, thinking that's darkness, then if this light is God, this must be the kingdom of heaven. Then the person in there must be God himself, because who would have a light that fills the heavens? And how would he know my name and my inner thought before I even spoke? I felt terribly and absolutely ashamed of my humanity. Scriptures say that men fear coming to the light, lest their evil deeds be exposed. I felt totally ashamed. I was very aware of my sin. I began to move back from the light. As I began moving back from it, waves of light came towards me because I thought I should go back into hell where I belong, that someone's made a dreadful mistake. As I moved back from the presence of God, waves of radiant light touched me. You know what it was? Pure, unconditional love. Wave after wave of liquid light with the most extraordinary, no strings attached, love. Absolute forgiveness, incredible acceptance flowing into me. I said, God, you can't love me. Don't you know my sins? More love came. I thought, perhaps he's too old and he doesn't know them. How many have had pictures of some old boy up there that can't see past the end of his nose? So I thought, I better tell them now. You might as well find out now than later. Why come in and they get booted out? So I said, I have cursed you. I've broken your commandments. How many have broken one of the Ten Commandments? How many even know what they are? Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not. How many knows a few of you have busted a few of those? One, two, or ten? How many know one's enough to make you guilty of all of them? Isn't that true? Guilty of one, guilty of the whole law. Thank God we're not saved under the law of the Ten Commandments. Thank God the only person that fulfilled them was Jesus. Thank God there's a new covenant and grace, but I didn't understand that because I was brought up under the law of Moses in a church that told me that I had to be a good boy. And I'd failed. How many other Catholics, Anglicans, and Methodists have failed out there, living under the law of Moses, under the Ten Commandments, and almost given up? I become so ashamed that they don't want to be a hypocrite going to church anymore because they know they can't live the standard that God requires of them. I stood there weeping as I said, God, I have cursed you. I've slept around, I've taken drugs. Every sin I told him, his response, love and acceptance. I said, I have done some of the most horrendous things, skeletons in the closet. I told God the worst thing I'd ever done in my life. His response to that was pure, unconditional love. I wept like a child. I began to weep like a little boy. And God showed me that all my sins had been forgiven in the ambulance, that I had no sins in me. I was as white as snow. As I stood there, I felt the love fill me. The light then surrounded me. I was encased in liquid light, pure love. It says we will be transformed from glory to glory. But we all fall short of the glory of God. I was in what's called the outer courts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. The Holy Spirit was glorifying the Son, and what I was experiencing was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some of you 10 years ago, when you got the joy, thought you'd arrived. Well, you hadn't even got out of the tunnel. Love, peace, joy. We love because He first loved us. He accepts us. I then have security in that. I know the kids are coming back in because I've blown the time. So I walk closer towards the light, hoping that if I could step into the light, I could see the Lord face to face and give a name to Him. I knew He could tell me the meaning and truth to life. So I stepped into this cloud of radiance, and as I did, it was like veils. You know how in a wedding they put a veil over? I walked into this cloud, and it was like miniature stars. Inside this cloud of radiance, I could feel my broken heart being healed. The stars looked incredibly small. I felt amazingly big. Have you seen the DVD Indescribable, where they try and make man look very small? Well, guess what? We're creating the image of God. The whole of creation is waiting for a revelation of the sons of God. When you die, you actually fulfill the understanding of what it is to be a son of God, a daughter of the Most High God. You're outside the restraints of the physical world, and you then become, with the Creator God, His son. He uses the earth as His footstool. He holds seven stars in His hands. The entire universe is held in the palm of His hands. How many know that makes you feel a little bit bigger? Did for me. So I walked in, healing my broken heart, crying more but happy. I watched the veils of light open, and as I did, standing in front of me with dazzling white robes made up of this cloud of light, bare feet, hands outstretched, I could see Jesus. His face was just full of light. The light was 7 to 10 times brighter. As I read this morning, it says that Jesus' face is the actual glory of the Father is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the exact representation of the invisible God. He is the light of the world. His hair was pure white. I was amazed because out of His face was coming light. As it touched me, purity and holiness came into me. I felt totally pure and completely holy. We should be holy because He's holy. How do you think we're going to come? Jesus is coming back for a bride, isn't He? How on earth can the bride be prepared? The only way the bride can be prepared to be holy and pure is to step within the Holy of Holies and start looking upon the risen, glorified Son. Only within the holy place can He impart His holiness and purity. The high priest used to go in there, and when they came out, they had to take their garments off in case they imparted holiness to the people. Thank God all of us now can come in. Thank God all of us can come in through the blood of the Lamb into the throne of grace and look upon a risen Savior who is holy and pure. We should be holy because He is. How many have failed in being pure? How many failed living a holy life, all of us, haven't they? So how on earth do we get to heaven? How on earth can he come back for a bride? By us in the Spirit going into the holy place in prayer. I watched Jesus walked up to him, he stepped aside, right behind him was a new earth and a new heaven. Totally new earth, fields, pastures, trees, crystal clear river. I thought heaven was supposed to be clouds, people wearing white sheets, playing harps, and having fat little Italian babies with wings out their back, with puffed up cheeks, firing arrows at you. Thank God the angels don't look like those sick little babies, and thank God we don't have to sit there on clouds floating around playing harps. God has created a new earth. Where did God walk with on? God walked on this earth, didn't he? When you travel in parts of Canada, parts of New Zealand, you'll see heaven on earth, what's left of it, don't you? Just you go, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. But how many know that God's created a new one? He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And behold, it is new. I'm now watching a new earth and a new heaven right in front of me. I know I'm home. Jesus comes back in front of me and said, Ian, do you wish to remain here or do you wish to return? What would you do? Ajax or heaven? Perhaps you come from Niagara, you know? I've looked at your postal code. So I'm standing here, I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this is paradise. This is heaven on earth. Now the Hindu and Buddhist said, oh, you go into nothingness, go into the light, and it's nirvana. There's nothing there. Well, guess what? That's not true. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And you get a new heavenly body to place on your spiritual body. Mortality is clothed with immortality. First the natural, then the spiritual. First the earthly, then the heavenly. I know I'm home. I watch the life that's upon this, upon Jesus all over creation. I know if I stepped on the grass, it would spring back. The whole of that creation was alive. And the Spirit and the bride say, come and drink freely of the river of life. No more sickness, no more death, no more suffering, no more war. And I thought, I want to stay here. Jesus didn't move. I thought, God, I've got nothing to return for. I'm not married. I have no children or none that I know of. I've got no one to go back for. No one loves me. I look back to say goodbye, cruel world. Can I have the next photograph? And directly behind me is a vision of my mother. How many love your mother? If you don't, please forgive her. Mothers try, don't they? How many mothers stuff it up? None of you, okay? Well, my mum admitted it. I saw her and realized that if I stepped through the door would close and I'd only see grass. I would not be able to come back. I knew if I entered through this door into eternity, I could never come back. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We shall see him face to face. I could see his form and glory. Jesus would not permit me to see his unveiled face, but if I stepped through, I could then see it face to face. I looked back and I thought, I want to go back for her. It will cripple her to think that I went to hell. How would she know that I became a Christian? No evidence. I said, God, I love my mother. I've lived such a selfish life. I wish to return and tell her what she believes in is real. But I don't know how to go back. I looked back. Next photograph, my father appeared instantly beside my mother and my brother, my sister, hundreds of thousands of people. And the Lord said to me, I want you to return and tell these people what you've seen. You must see through a new light from an eternal heavenly perspective. I want you to go back and tell them what you have seen. I said, but God, I don't know them. I don't love these people. I love my mother. I don't even know who these people are. Who are they to me? He said, Ian, I love them. I desire all of them to come to know me. I said, but God, I don't understand that kind of love. How many know it's hard enough to love one person? And you might be married to them. That's almost mission impossible some days, isn't it? But if you love someone, you give them your heart, don't you? And the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. He just loved me back to life. I now saw my mother and father and a multitude of people that I had no comprehension of that God could love the whole world. All I could do was try and love my mum. I said, how do I go back down the tunnel, back into hell, and back into my body? He said, Ian, tilt your head. Now feel the liquid drain from your eye, son. Now open your eye and see. Can I have the next photograph? I was back in the Victoria Hospital on a slab in a morgue with my eye opened. Doctor, young Indian doctor, a different one, holding my right foot with a scalpel in it, pricking the base of my foot, and his corpse opens its eye and looks at him. One Indian doctor through the ceiling. This boy freaking out. What are you doing with the knife? You think I'm dead? God saying, son, I gave your life back. I said, God, can I tilt my head to the left and look out the other eye? I'm getting sick of looking at him. So I rolled my head to the left, opened my left eye, and in the doorway where the Indian nurses who had been injecting me, they saw me smash each other and ran. I thought, well, this is not coming back from a coma. Where's the man with the pads? I see to my right and left nobody. I am literally alive back in my body with a doctor shaking like a leaf, holding my foot, and all the nurses and orderlies gone. He drops my foot, steps away from me, telling me I've been dead for 15 to 20 minutes, that they've done nothing to bring me back, and you could see him trying to wonder what I'd seen. Well, I'd seen a movie by Jack Nicholson, One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I thought, if I tell this guy I've seen the fella upstairs, then they'll have me in a straitjacket ricocheting around with Prozac. I thought, I've got to figure this one out myself. I said, God, if I've been dead that long and these men have not brought me back and I've seen you, could you do another healing miracle? I feel nothing from my neck down. Could you possibly heal my body? If not, take me back to heaven. I'd rather be dead than live on a machine. I lay there and I felt power like electricity go through me. Within 3 to 4 hours, I was totally healed. I believe in the resurrection power of Christ and the healing power. The next photograph, I walked out of the hospital and the fishermen thought I was a ghost. They called me Ian Magar. The men under the tamarind trees were frightened when they saw the scars. They said, you cannot be alive. You're a ghost. Come back to terrify us. I said, I'm alive. Began to see in the spirit world, began to understand the whole demonic angelic world. And literally, I flew back to New Zealand and God said, you are a reborn Christian. I said, I've never heard of it. He said, read a Bible. I said, I don't have one. And my father, he said, your father's got one. Within 6 weeks, I read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Revelations 1, 13 to 18, I saw John had seen Jesus in his glorified form, white hair, eyes shining with fire, face like the sun. He said, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Everything in this Bible made sense. Every single thing from Genesis. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness. Then he created the sun, moon, and stars. I knew in Genesis 1, 3 that this was the word of God. I wept. The next photograph. Went back onto the farm. And the next one, I think. And started to have open heaven visions. God started to take me straight back up into heaven. Began to walk into places that I'd seen in front of and not been able to go into. I said, what's this? He said, 2 Corinthians 12, 2 to 4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in his body or out, was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise. He said, the book of Revelations, John was alive when he had 22 chapters of seeing the presence of God. He said, you can have access to this. He said, people don't understand the book of Revelations because they try and intellectualize it as 666, the mark of the beast. He said, it's got really very little to do with the Antichrist. It's got to do with Christ. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, only by the Spirit of God can you have personal revelation of Jesus Christ in his glorified form. So about 80% of that book I've had personal revelation on over the last 30 years. God wants us to have access to meet with the risen Savior. Not a dead one, a living one. Most people meet with an historic one in the Gospels. A lot of them try and kiss one that's on the cross who's dead and focus upon a dead one. You look upon a dead Savior, and guess what will come into you? He died that you might have life. If you fix your eyes upon a risen, glorified Savior, you'll be transformed. I'm finished. Thank God for a praying Christian mother. And thank God I was able to come back and tell my dear mother, because when I was reading the Bible, she walked in and saw me. She burst into tears when I told her my story. Her story then equated with mine. I was the first one back, prodigal son. My sister then came through, her children, my father who was in the Freemasonry Lodge got saved. Amazing transformation. I was the first male for generations that had got saved. First one. Some people said, oh, you've had a reincarnation. I said, no. I said, if I, under reincarnation teaching, if I've got bad karma, when I die, I'm reborn under that and come back as another person. I said, I had enough bad karma under that lie to have come back as a cockroach or a flea. I said, every single person that I know that's died, and I've met thousands of them that have come back to life, came back into their own body. It starts with that. It's got nothing to do with reincarnation. It's called resurrection power. And I said, Jesus said, you must be born again before you die, because after death comes judgment. So that all religions don't teach the same thing. Jesus Christ taught the truth. He said, the truth will set you free. And thank God you don't have to look at horoscopes, or which are horrible anyhow, or palms or tea leaves, or anything to do with that. You can follow the Lord from all your heart, and the Word of God, the Bible, will help you through it. Any questions? Good. We'll move on. How many people have sinned? Sinned. The Bible says the sting of death is sin, not cancer, not a box jellyfish, not a cobra. The sting of death is sin, but the free gift of God is eternal life and forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What washed my spirit as white as snow when I died? The blood of Jesus supernaturally washed my spirit as white as snow. And you can have that happen today, but Jesus also said that if you are forgiven of your sins, you must forgive others. He said, if you don't, I won't forgive you your sins. Your unforgiveness and bitterness nullifies your repentance. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. What have people done to you that you can't forgive? And by forgiving them, you're not saying what they did was right. By forgiving them, you're taking the bitterness and anger and resentment out of your heart. The desire for revenge, you laid at the foot of the cross. Jesus will judge them, not you. If you get rid of the anger and hatred that you have towards humanity, that darkness and evil will actually leave you, and the light of God's love and peace and joy can come in. He can heal your broken heart. We forgive, He forgives us. Those who call upon His name shall be saved. But that's the Savior part. The next bit is Lord. Thy will be done. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. The scriptures say you cannot be saved without Him being Lord. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many people want a ticket to heaven, but they don't want Christ to be Lord. They want to come to Sunday, 1 hour, stand up, sit down and kneel, but they don't want to live 24/7 for Him. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. I'm a dead man walking. You shouldn't be listening to me. Some of you wonder why you are. It's fine, it's Mother's Day. Sometimes the only time you ever step into church, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. Thank God you can be saved today. Thank God you can repent of your sins and be born again. I'd like you to bow your heads in prayer. I'd like you to join me in prayer. Scriptures say, if you call from your heart and believe in your heart, turn from your sins, Jesus Christ will come in. He stands at the door and knocks. And anyone who would open up that door, He will come in with His manifest presence. He is the Savior, the light of the world, the King of glory. If you can pray this prayer, either for the first time or recommitment, and Christians, you're welcome to join me, but please pray this prayer out loud from your heart. Follow me if you can, Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That you died on the cross for me. That your precious blood that was shed on Calvary can wash me as white as snow. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me. Wash me as white as snow. Set me free to live for you all the days of my life. I forgive those who have sinned against me. And I give my whole life to you. Your will be done. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can we have the musicians just come? How many have loved these musicians? Oh, dear. there is a fragrance and the heart of the Father pouring out forth through their worship. Some of you have felt that today, even the living waters, the freedom that comes from worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm going to invite them to sing and lead us in a worship song in closing. And I'd like to open up this altar for people who have given their heart to Jesus, first time or recommitment. In 1982, the minister that was speaking, the pastor in the church, those who are burdened and heavy laden, those who have given their heart to Jesus, to come forward. I was sitting in the very back of the meeting. I'd given my heart to the Lord, but I was terrified to publicly come forward. The man said, "The fear of man is a snare. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Break the pressure of peer group pressure. Fear God. Kneel before Christ. Come out of the darkness into the light." I walked from the back of that church to the front, and I was touched. The love of God came to me. Something broke in me, which was called pride. And I've never looked back. In every meeting around the world, I know that there are men, women, and children that need to get on their knees before God and get right. And when they do that, the blood of Jesus, the love of God, covers all their sin. But God gives grace to the humble. And by grace we're saved. So the only way we can be saved is to humble ourselves under the hand of Almighty God. And I think one of the most important things to do that I've seen in years and years of preaching is to call people to public repentance. It might seem old-fashioned, but every knee shall bow. So why not today? Why not humble yourself before the hand of God and before man and confess Jesus Christ as Lord? What a great day. There are mothers in here that have been praying for your children, praying for your husbands, praying for your family members. And I believe that their prayers can be answered today if some of you would choose the route of humility. Christ humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. He was crucified, and under the death of people ridiculed, he humbled himself that every name, heaven and earth would bow, everything in the universe will bow before his name. Because of his act of humility, Jesus laid down his life that we might have eternal life. And those who kneel before him shall be saved. So I'm going to start kneeling here. You might be kneeling amongst the carnations, but don't worry, there's a party in heaven. Because in heaven, angels rejoice when sinners get saved. My mother rejoiced. But I tell you what, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit rejoice along with the angels when we see souls saved. I'd like us all to stand, and those who need to come forward, slip out of your chairs and come forward as we sing. Come and kneel down before your Savior. Make peace with God today. Up here, I want you to come and kneel with them. If you've got a loved one or a neighbor, come and kneel with your family. And if you're afraid to come, I'd like you Christians to ask your family members, perhaps they're afraid. So I'll come with you, I'll kneel down. I'm not afraid to kneel before God. Bring your family members, bring your friend, ask them, go and talk to them, grab their hands and bring them up. Come and kneel and bless them. Put your hand upon their shoulders and love on them. Jesus, you. Hallelujah. He loves you. Thank you.